WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
A new 9-CD box set collects the comedy recordings that Richard Pryor made for Warner Brothers from 1968 to 92. Richard Pryor started his career by imitating Bill Cosby, but he later said he knew his days of pretending to be as slick and colorless as Cosby were numbered. There was a world of junkies and winos, pool hustlers and prostitutes, friends and family screaming inside his head, trying to be heard. His comedy was filled with his perceptions about being black in America, and he took his personal crises, like his heart attack, and transformed them into comedy.
Anybody here ever had a heart attack? No, motherfucker never admit they had a heart attack, right, people?
No, sir, I never did. I had indigestion one time.
I don't care what nobody tell your ass, boy. I was walking in the yard and somebody said,
"Don't breathe no more." I said, "Huh?" I said, "Don't breathe no motherfucking more. You heard me." "Okay, I won't breathe, I won't breathe, I won't breathe."
And I tried to ease a little air inside of my mouth. And I said, "Say, did I tell you not to breathe?"
"You told me not to breathe, you told me not to breathe."
"Well, where are you going? Why are you walking? Stand still."
"Okay, I'll stand still."
"Get your ass down."
"Okay, I'm down, I'm down, I'm down. Don't hurt me, don't hurt me, don't hurt me."
"Shut the fuck up, you think about dying, ain't you?"
"Yeah, yeah."
"Why didn't you think about that when you was eating that pork, motherfucker?"
Richard Pryor's performing career was ended by multiple sclerosis, which was first diagnosed in 1986. In 1998, when he was given the first Kennedy Center honor for humor, he was unable to rise from his wheelchair for a bow. He could barely say thank you. He had a little more stamina when I spoke with him in 1995. I was in our Philadelphia studio. He was in the NPR studio in Los Angeles. He told me about his physical therapy.
"This lady, I think her name is Marie. She's my therapist.
Mm-hmm.
She comes 3 times a week.
"What's the therapy like?"
"Oh, man. Some days, it's like, I don't feel good, you know? And so I don't want to do it. But she says, well, you have to do it." So 3 times a week, that's what I'm put up with.
Was it like moving arms and legs and things like that?
Man, there was a time I couldn't move any of them. I was in bed like that for a while. I couldn't move.
What did you do to pass the time while you were in bed and couldn't move?
Good question. I'm trying to think. What did I do? Oh, I remember. I smoked some bass. No, I did.
Did you really? Or you?
No, I'm serious. And my ex-wife, Flynn, came to visit me. And she walked through my stuff. And she found it. And she said, "What is this?" I had a rock. You know, she said, "What's this?" And I didn't tell her, because I was scared. And she said, "Is this dope?" I said, "Nah." I said, "Just looks like it, but that's not really." And she threw it out.
So have you stopped?
Yes.
Was there a turning point that got you to stop?
Yes. Well, it's called being broke.
Now, let me ask you an odd question. I mean, about freebasing. It's bad for your health, right? But, I mean, your health isn't good anyway. So would it being bad for your health not be likely to inspire you to stop? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're making sense, is what you're saying. And if I was that type of person that made sense, I wouldn't be where I am. Because I never made no sense. You know, it was like, life to me was like, not supposed to make sense. Because, hey, I don't care how you slice it, you ain't getting out alive. So enjoy as much as you can.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I mean, some of the things you did were really self-destructive. The free bracing, the setting yourself on fire.
That was a definite.
Definitely self-destructive, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you know, and it's the kind of behavior that you're warned is going, you know, to really kill you. And you survived all of that. And now you have a disease, MS, that has absolutely nothing, as far as I know, to deal with, you know, quote, bad behavior. Do you know what I'm saying? So it just seems like such an irony that all the things people warned you would really hurt you.
It was the MS.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with you getting MS.
No. It's just like God said, oh, really? Okay, here, boom. So try that on.
Well, do you think it's God punishing you for things you've done? Is that what you're saying?
No. Uh-huh. God don't work like that.
Yeah, so I mean, you could have lived this absolutely exemplary life and still gotten MS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a blessing, though.
Getting MS?
Yeah.
How so?
Because it pushes me forward. I'm going through the therapy, and I'm understanding some things about life I never understood.
Anything you'd care to talk about, or is that too personal to discuss?
There's nothing so personal as when you can't walk the way you want to, and then you have to depend on others to help you. And I go, oh, my God. And that's what it is. It's depending on people. And you have to learn to trust them, which is very hard for me. Very hard. But here I am.
You are so important to so many people. I mean, so many people have, like, looked up to you for so long. Do you feel that you have to try to handle your illness now as, like, a role model? Do you know what I mean? Like, when you're a public person like yourself and people are looking at you, do you feel like, that you need to do it like a role model? Not that you've been a traditional role model to anybody in the past.
It's like...
not that you've taught us to behave in socially accepted ways in the past.
Yeah. Hey, God gave me this, and I'm going to say this truthfully. God gave me just a little bit of it, you know? He said, so slow down for a minute. Take a break. You know, take a break and look at things differently. So I do. Rich is not a bad person. Look at things differently. So I do. Rich is not a bad person. And this disease is just a disease. And I have it. So that's what I deal with.
I know you keep a gun next to your bed.
Yeah.
What for?
Because the boogeyman might come in some night.
Who are you expecting?
The boogeyman. I mean, come on. There's such terrible things going on in the world. People are crazy. They're serious about whatever craziness it is. And I don't want to be caught in no trap and not be able to get off one shot.
I mean, excuse me for asking this, but would you be able to even use the gun if you had cause to?
No. I think the hard thing I do is having to cock it. Because it's a 9mm, and the bolt is real hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say, wait a minute, please. Just a minute.
Right, help me out here.
Yeah, I'll be with you in a minute. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Richard Pryor recorded in 1995. His comedy recordings are collected on a new 9-CD box set. Coming up, Henry Sheehan reviews the sequel to The Blair Witch Project. This is Fresh Air.